Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q4 and FY24 earnings conference call of Waaree Renewable Technologies Limited. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Viral Sakhlecha from Orient Capital. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Neha. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I welcome you all to the earnings conference call of Waaree Renewable Technologies Limited to discuss the Q4 and FY24 business performance. Today on the call, we have from the management Mr. Dilip Panjwani, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Manmohan Sharma, AVP Finance and Account, and Mr. Rohit Wade, General Manager, Investor Relations. Before we proceed with the call, I would like to mention that some of the statements made in today's call may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risk and uncertainties. For more details, kindly refer to the investor presentation and other filings that can be found on the company's website. Without further ado, I would like to hand over the call to the management for the opening comments, and then we will open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, Dilip sir.
Thank you, Viral. Good afternoon, everyone. I would like to welcome you all to the earnings conference call of Waaree Renewable Technologies Limited to discuss the fourth quarter and financial year-ended FY24 business performance. I hope you all have got an opportunity to go through our financial results and investor presentation, which has been uploaded on the stock exchange as well as on the company's website. I wish to express my heartfelt gratitude to all those who dedicated their time to join the call and have consistently been part of our journey. I have along with me Mr. Manmohan Sharma, AVP Finance and Accounts, and Mr. Rohit Wade, General Manager, Investor Relations, and other members of the management team as well on the call. Let me begin by giving you a brief outlook on the Indian economy and the solar sector. Amid global economic uncertainties, the Indian economy stands out as a symbol of resilience. The Indian economy is projected to grow by 7.5% in 2024, according to the World Bank, and it is expected to surpass Japan as the fourth-largest economy by FY2025. This growth is backed by efforts to reduce fiscal deficit and government debt, supported by strong output growth and government initiatives. India is on track to be the fastest-growing major economy in 2024, thanks to increased interest from multinational companies eyeing India as a viable manufacturing hub amidst global supply chain changes. As a significant player in global power production and consumption, India is swiftly transitioning to a sustainable energy model to meet its growing power demands. The country recognizes the need to adopt renewable energy solutions amid climate change and rising energy expenses. The government's substantial investment and favorable policies are driving a shift towards solar power adoption, especially as renewable energy costs decrease. These government initiatives are pivotal in promoting the growth of renewable energy in India's dynamic energy sector. Through a range of strategic measures such as financial incentives, subsidies, and regulatory frameworks, the government is fostering the widespread use of solar and other renewables. These actions not only attract investments but also encourage innovation, creating a conducive environment for sustainable progress in the energy sector. The country has made significant strides in renewable energy with a record addition of 18.48 gigawatts in the fiscal year 2023-24, marking a remarkable increase of over 21% from the previous year's 15.27 gigawatts, as reported by the Ministry of New and Renewable Energy. In FY24, tenders for utility-scale energy projects exceeded the government's 50 gigawatt target, reaching a remarkable 69 gigawatts. This surge was driven by significant market growth opportunities, strong central government backing through targets and regulations, and improved operating margins. The increasing significance of SECI and other agencies involved in renewable energy tendering underlines the strength of India's renewable energy tendering ecosystem. Regarding energy storage, the country's energy storage capacity is poised to grow significantly, targeting 12 gigawatt by FY24 and 70 gigawatt by FY30. This aligns with the new renewable purchase obligations and energy storage obligation norms to support the country's renewable energy goals. As of March 31, 2024, India's installed renewable energy capacity stands at 143.64 gigawatt. This means India must add approximately 310 gigawatt within the next 6 years, averaging at 50 gigawatt annually. The Ministry of New and Renewable Energy is actively targeting the bidding of around 50 gigawatt of renewable energy projects each year to meet this ambitious target. Notably, solar installations accounted for 16 gigawatt of total renewable energy capacity addition in 2023-24. And solar energy remains at the forefront with a total installed capacity of approximately 82 gigawatt, leading India's renewable energy landscape. In conclusion, India's journey towards sustainable energy future, particularly in solar and renewable energy, promises continued growth. The alignment of technological progress, favorable policies and increased environmental consciousness is set to draw more investments into this sector. The government's ambitious targets for expanding renewable energy capacity demonstrate a strong dedication to achieving sustainable and reliable energy landscape for the country. Now I would like to take you through our business performance for this quarter and financial performance for year-ended FY24. I am pleased to report that performance has been strong in FY24. We have an unexecuted order book of 2.3 gigawatt peak, and we have successfully executed 700 plus megawatt peak in FY24. Revenue from O&M stood at 10.42 crores in FY24. In this quarter, we have secured significant order wins totaling 1.8 gigawatt peak for ground-mounted solar power projects, reflecting our strong momentum in renewable energy sector. Fourth quarter performance. Revenue for quarter 4 FY24 stood at 273.25 crores, representing a growth of 344% year-on-year as compared to 61.49 crores in fourth quarter of FY23. EBITDA for 4th quarter FY24 stood at 75.3 crores as compared to 22.29 crores in 4th quarter of FY23, representing a growth of 237% year-on-year. Profit after tax for 4th quarter FY24 stood at 54.18 crores as compared to 12.28 crores in 4th quarter FY23, representing a growth of 341% year-on-year. FY24 performance. For full year, revenue for full year FY24 stood at 876.44 crores, representing a growth of 149% year-on-year as compared to 350 crores in FY23. EBITDA for FY24 stood at 207 crores as compared to 83.75 crores in FY23, representing a growth of 147% year-on-year. PAT for FY24 stood at 148 crores as compared to 55.33 crores in FY23, representing a growth of 167% year-on-year. That's it from my end. Thank you for joining us today all, and we look forward to your questions. Over to you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Agastya Devi from CAO Capital. Please go ahead.
Am I audible?
Yes, you are audible, Agastya.
Good noon, sir. Sir, I just had a couple of questions. One, if I look at your current order book, which is very impressive, based on your presentation, you are saying upwards of 2,000 megawatts which need to be executed over the next 18 months. So that is multiple times what you have done cumulatively, right? When your order book is such a large number, suppose tomorrow you get another 500 megawatt order from for a project which is fully funded, there are no problems from the developer side. In such a situation, sir, when would that project be executed? When would the execution start? Do you have enough execution capacity to actually cater to still more orders over and above your existing order book?
Okay. That's it, or do you have any other question?
I have one more question, sir.
Yeah. Tell me.
In Q4, sir, this is again something that I've noticed with solar EPC players. Is Q4 a slightly lighter quarter compared to Q3?
Okay, Agastya, I would like to first attend your second question on Q4. Essentially, there's nothing called lighter or heavier or seasonal in our business. EPC business is actually a long-term business and not a quarterly business. What happens is that there's a lot of preparatory work that goes for a long period of time, and then suddenly you could witness one or two quarters which are very big, heavy quarters. This has been happening in EPC for quite a long time, and we are not immune to the same. So what happened is that one probably 100 megawatt, we couldn't finish invoicing to a customer, etc. And that could, you could observe that that could have led to fourth quarter not being up to a promising mark or etc. But that doesn't take away our execution capability or our strength on any front. We have time and again mentioned this in most of our calls and presentations that EPC is a long-haul business and a lot of supply chain marshaling one has to do. And exactly predicting how much you will do becomes a little bit difficult.
Right.
Coming to your first question, and this has also been come up in our previous earnings call, and I would like to reiterate once again that our capacity is enough to execute more than even 2.3 gigawatt, and we keep improving our capacity also. Unlike manufacturing where machineries determine your capacity level, this is a platform business, and a little bit additional resources are required where the company has the capability to marshal them over once the order is received. So 500 megawatt or further 1 gigawatt is indifferent to us as of now. But yes, capacity sometimes get determined by your manpower to deliver the same, So, some of the services remain common in the business, like design, etc. From that perspective, you can deliver much more higher projects. You get limited by sometimes supply chain or sometimes project site personnel, which we need to marshal. So if I get your on your question of if I get 500 megawatt, I would definitely like to take that up and execute. And when I will execute, that depends on how the client constructs a contract and when does he wants. And it is a mutual agreement between both the parties, depending upon how the outlook is coming up and how his payment terms are, depending on that. But definitely, as a company, we are open to this 500 megawatt as an example which you have mentioned.
Right. Excellent, sir. So one small follow-up. So as of now, if you get an order book, a fresh order today of, let's say, again, 500 megawatts, how long does it take to actually execute that order, given that you have such a huge pile of orders already lying on your table?
No, this actually needs to be a little bit done a hair split. It depends on, number one, complexity of the EPC contract, whether it's a turnkey, balance of systems, or the scope. That's number one. And number two is the size of the project. So if it's turnkey, land, module, balance of system, design, everything is our part, it could take a little longer. Depending, you have to go and scout land.
Can you quantify it, sir? A time range? Say, will you be able to finish it in 1 year or 6 months or more than 1 year?
Exactly, Agastya, I'm coming to that.
Right.
I just started with qualifying remark of the business complexity as to how long does it take, and then the size. I said the smaller the size, it's faster to execute. So normally we classify 100 megawatt size orders and above 100 megawatt and then above 500 megawatt. Obviously, above 500 megawatt normally takes about 18 months, is what normally it takes. But normally, generally, we have observed that it is between 9 and 18 months, depending upon the complexities which I mentioned in my previous conversation.
Got it, sir. 9 and 18 months. Okay, great. So I have one more question, but I'll go back in the queue. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aman from Augmenta Asset Managers LLP. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So actually, sir, can you break down your order book? So currently, as we can see, we have an unexecuted order book of around 2.3 gigawatts, if we say precisely. So megawatt, we are realizing what, 1.3, 1.4 crores of revenue? Am I understanding it correctly?
Okay. So, Aman, you know, the per unit value, you know, for us always remains in the range of 1.2 to 1.3. But just to give a perspective, you know, as I was talking to Agastya and when I mentioned complexity, scope, etc., the turnkey contracts are between 3.25 to 3.5 crore per megawatt, and then, you know, balance of system could be anywhere between, you know, 80 lakhs to 1.5 crores also. For us, the average is, you know, 1.1 to 1.2 crore if you want that breakdown, you know, as a company, that's our average.
Okay, okay, okay. And sir, currently, apart from this unexecuted order book, so any other pipeline that we are envisaging, like for example, we would have some bid pipeline also that we would be bidding. This is the confirmed order book, but can you give us some think about the bid pipeline?
So Aman, as we speak, we are chasing 13 gigawatt of order book position. I would just want to reiterate that, you know, what we mentioned in our previous earnings call, the ecosystem has been, you know, extremely good for us, and some of the statistics that have come out are very well, you know, almost 16 gigawatt of tenders, you know, our orders have gotten out in the market in last one quarter, where they will come in the market in any way, you know, for execution. Either the companies will do themselves or outsource it to companies like us. And for us, as of today, you know, we are talking to, like, you know, 26, 27 customers with 13 gigawatt of pipeline. That is up from 10 gigawatt that we were speaking in last earnings call. So that's the number that you probably are looking at.
Okay. And sir, typically, what sense of conversion we can sense over here? Like, for example, if the bid pipeline, if the market is of, like, let's say 13 gigawatt or the bid pipeline, so can we say that our conversion would be, what, 20-30% out of this?
You know, generally, our strike rate has been between, you know, 25-30%. So if you look at 2.3 gigawatt and we were talking 10 gigawatt when, you know, and if you look at it's a strike rate of roughly 23-24%, you know, actually it was 25%. And that we have consistently observed in our company's case that, you know, we kind of go on to strike 25-30% of our pipeline as a conversion to order.
Okay. So, sir, this unexecuted order book of, if you look about the value, it comes at around 2800 odd crores. So, this is executable over the next, what, 18 months?
12 to 18 months.
Okay, 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 understood. And, sir, also, again, if I come to the bid pipeline thing, so can you give a sense of the orders that which we are getting from, like, are these the likes of NTPC, or is the individual power producers, or what is the customer profile that we are targeting?
See, you know, in pipeline, mostly, you know, utility scale guys who have already got an order of PPA or they are setting up in some form, they come under the 13 gigawatt. The tenders, you know, whenever they are published, then they enter the pipeline segment. So the PSU is, should be, you know, over and above that, and whenever we bid for that.
Achha, this 13 gigawatt doesn't include PSUs, right?
As of now, not, but if and when the tender is published and we buy the bid document to bid for that, then that will enter the pipeline segment.
And sir, out of this unexecuted order book, what is the percentage of PSUs in this?
Right now, you know, in terms of volume, they are like, you know, 15% around, and in terms of value, they are around 35%
odd. Acha. Okay, okay. And sir, any reason that we are not targeting PSUs, or PSUs because of scale are not preferring us? What is the thing over here?
There's no hard and fast that, you know, there is a particular reason we were not chasing. Or, you know, we have been equally chasing PSUs and utility scale IPP from other segment and CNI segment. It's just that the strike was, you know, much more easier and faster. Going forward, you know, if you look at India's, you know, target towards renewable energy segment, especially solar becoming the dominant play, we are, you know, inclined to chasing both, you know, utility scale IPP and the PSU segment as well. And if you look at the order book in the last quarter, you know, fourth quarter, The biggest order has been actually from PSU.
The 980 megawatt, right?
No, the 450 megawatt DC from NEEPCO.
Okay. Acha, okay. Understood, sir. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rudresh Kalyani from Kalyani Private Business. Please go ahead.
Hello. Sir, am I audible?
You are audible, sir.
Okay. Congrats on the good quarter. So, I had a question that, see, looks like we executed somewhere around 230 megawatt power in this quarter. But number doesn't reflect that. So, can you throw light on that?
What, you know, makes this calculation that, you know, it doesn't reflect the 230 megawatt? Can you say that because, you know?
No, previous quarter we executed somewhere around 210 megawatt power, if I'm not wrong. So this quarter we executed somewhere around 230 as per the presentation which you shared with us. So going by that, I am, since on a quarterly basis, on a sequential basis, we increase the megawatt power which we have executed, but the revenue number which you are talking about, that's not reflecting.
Okay, I got it. See, Rudresh, you know, as I told you, you know, EPC is a mix of, you know, milestones, the kind of scope, etc. So it depends on, you know, what exactly we went and executed for which customer. So it becomes, you know, quite hair-splitting to speak about each customer on the call. But definitely we executed the 230 megawatt, and that's how our 270 crore odd revenues that we have booked reflects the kind of scope of work that we have completed for our customers.
Okay. And just a while back, you told that you didn't invoice for 100 crore. What was the reason for that?
I didn't say. I said it fell short by that kind of an amount. And there's no reason as such. As I told you, there's a lot of preparatory work that goes into an EPC play. So, you know, probably, you know, that we felt if we would have probably done that, we would have done much more better is what I mentioned actually.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And see, our receivable has shot up by somewhere around 6x. So can you throw light on that? Are we facing any difficulty with working capital?
No, there is no difficulty in working capital. It also reflects our revenue growth that we have been mentioning. Plus in receivable, there's always a component of retention money also. You know, so whenever retention money gets released, our working capital will also get released.
Okay. See, since I asked this because our revenue has gone by 3x, but receivables has gone by 6x. So there was a mismatch between them. So I asked that.
So there could be a portion of not due also in that. That not due portion comes from retention money, Rudresh.
And one more thing is O&M has come down by somewhere 400 megawatt, if I'm not wrong. So what was the reason for that?
So some of the contracts could have got ended, and however, you know, in our new order that we have announced, there is about 900 megawatt to 1 gigawatt portion of O&M that will start as and when we complete the EPC portion.
Okay. I will join back with you. Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Vivek Gautam from GS Investment. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Just wanted to know what is the execution plan for 24-25 and what is the status of the global expansion, and any word if you can say on the 5B Maverick deployment also, order books also, sir. Yeah.
Yeah. So order book, you know, Vivek, as we mentioned, it is 2.3 gigawatt. What was your first question, Vivek, you said?
The execution plan for 2024-25, sir.
Yeah. So execution plan, you know, as I mentioned in my, you know, opening question itself, that, you know, we plan to kind of execute between, you know, 1.8 to 2 gigawatt, which should be seeing us through, like, you know, another doubling of our revenues over the next year, around, you know, 2,800 or 2,500 onwards, you know. But, you know, we don't enter into guidance, you know, this is just an plan that we have, you know, built with our customers, you know, that we need to execute, you know, into our entire EPC cycle.
Sir, what about the other question, the strategy for the solar rooftop opportunities? How are we placed, and is it a very big opportunity for us also, or the competition is very tough over here?
Solar rooftop is a very significant opportunity, and we are putting in place some of the structures that are required, because these are below, you know, 5 MW kind of projects, but the market for them is also pretty good, you know, in that segment.
What's the scope for the integrated placer module plus EPC plus storage, and opportunity size for the company for next 1 year and next 5 years, sir?
If you look at some of the policy initiatives that the government has come out, the storage is now forming a significant portion of the round-the-clock projects. That offers a good opportunity going forward, as and when, you know, government comes out with firm initiatives instead of just policy papers. Right now, the government is talking of 47 gigawatt of storage space over next few years. As and when, you know, government comes up, you know, storage will become a significant opportunity for EPC players, and that would be integrated with renewable play as well.
And sir, this green hydrogen, other new segment, and 5G Maverick deployment.
So you know, we haven't much done any big progress on 5G Maverick, but hydrogen, you know, is, you know, still in some of the research phases. But as and when the opportunity is becoming quite bigger, the government has declared, you know, 5 million metric tons of hydrogen over next few years. So as and when that opportunity comes, the green hydrogen always should have a component of renewable energy, you know, to produce. That's how green hydrogen gets defined. Apart from green hydrogen, green ammonia, you know, whatever that happens, it will also present a significant opportunity. Besides that, the government has dedicated 37.5 gigawatt of solar parks, which will go in, you know, producing this green hydrogen. So that opportunity is also, you know, a big opportunity in government's policy initiatives.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jaydeep, an individual investor. Please go ahead. Mr. Jaydeep, your line has been unmuted. Please go ahead with your question. Hello, Mr. Jaydeep, can you hear us?
Hello, sir, sorry. Very good afternoon and congratulations on your good setup.
Sorry to interrupt you, sir. May I request you to use the handset, please?
Hello, sir. Can you hear me, sir?
Yes, we can hear you now.
Yes, sir. Congratulations on a good set of numbers, sir.
Thank you.
So, does the company, you know, have any, like, pre-decided targets, or do we have, like, you know, what FY27, what our target should be owing to India's projections?
So you mean to say the long-term plan of FY27,
Jerry? Yes, yes, yes.
You know, Jerry, we don't give guidance for next 12 months, and, you know, but I can speak it in a different manner, you know. The ecosystem that has evolved, not evolving anymore, it has evolved in renewable energy space, is revolutionary right now. It's doing extremely well, you know. I spoke some of the numbers of this year itself, which is like, you know, renewable, out of renewable, 82 gigawatt is solar now, 143 is total renewable energy landscape in India. The government's target is 500 gigawatt by 2030. If India has to do 2030, more than 50 gigawatt must be the annual deployment. And if you look at the tendering space, last year itself was 69 gigawatt. Last quarter, one quarter was like 8.5 gigawatt of solar energy kind of contracts that were rolled out last one quarter. So, you know, it's going to be very big opportunity for EPC players, and we are definitely going to participate very renewable we are positioning ourselves to gear up to accept the opportunity that's coming in our way.
Thank you, sir. Sir, with regard to the mix of raw material, how are we procuring these raw material from, what is our dependency on these energies?
So, you know, we are not into manufacturing that we are in any way impacted by raw material purchase, Jaydeep. And as regards purchase dependency on vary energies, you know, it depends on the type of the contract that we get. If we get with module, you know, we tend to buy at arm's length from Vari Energies. But if the contract is without modules and balance of system, then there are no dependencies at all.
Okay. And do you have any plans to, sir, merge the three companies in the near future, sir? Or do you want it to leave as is? Like, could you throw some light on that?
As of now, the board is not seized of any proposal of merger of any kind, leave alone the proposal of merger of Vari Energies or, you know, Vari Renewable, etc. The only merger that we concluded was, you know, which we have informed Stock Exchange, was our merger of three subsidiaries, you know, unlisted subsidiaries of Vari Renewable itself. So I don't think, you know, the board has any proposal in front of them on this count.
Okay, thank you so much. Thank you so much. I'll join in the queue.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sashikant from Brighter Mind. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, Sashikant.
Good afternoon. Congrats for the good set of numbers. Sir, I have three questions. Since our unexecuted book is 2.3 gigawatts. So we have a timeline of around 12 to 18 months. So can it stretch further in our sense, right?
See, you know, it can stretch, it cannot stretch. You know, no one can assure that whether it will happen or not. But what we mentioned normally is a contractual deliverance that the company must meet, and company is geared to meet 12 to 18 months of work of the 2.3 gigawatt that we have spoken.
Okay. Sir, I have another question. Sir, what is the sustainable margin we are seeing for these contracts as we have done in last financial year? Is that the same level, or will it increase, or something like that?
See, you know, margins should be in double digits only, you know, that we speak normally. Around 15% is more. We have delivered, you know, in the past. On account of volume growth, there could be, you know, some bit, you know, couple of percentage points here and there, but the volume is absolutely much, much higher than what we have delivered in the past. So one should look at it in that context.
Sir, since we need a lot of manpower to add to execute these books in coming 12 to 18 months, so what kind of manpower we need to add, or what cost you can escalate into employee cost?
You know, cost as a percentage will remain the same in terms of labor costs. The manpower talent is you know, two types basically. One is, you know, engineers who work as project heads, project managers, and in design team who have worked on renewable energy projects. Then the one is on the ground, you know, which we mentioned, you know, that who go and actually put up these systems there.
Okay. Sir, can you elaborate something on your green hydrogen, you know, aspirations and all?
So, you know, the green hydrogen was a pilot with a PSU, but we haven't received anything further update from our PSU in terms of further progress on that. But as a company, as we keep mentioning that, you know, the group is already present in hydrogen, and as and when opportunity arises, we are geared to deliver the EPC element of hydrogen.
Okay. Thank you, sir. That's all from my side. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ishita Lodha from Swan Investments. Please go ahead.
Congratulations for a great set of numbers.
Ishita, can you be a bit louder?
Am I audible now?
Yeah, you are audible now. Thank you.
Yeah. Sir, the company was planning to be in the range of 900 to 950 megawatts of execution in FY24, but we are able to execute 704 megawatts. So any specific reason for this?
See, you know, Ishita, as I told in my previous conversation also, we give a range, you know, and in that range, it's always kind of, you know, differs couple of months here and there. Like, you know, even we are talking 2.3 gigawatt, we are not saying 2.3 gigawatt is to be delivered in next 12 months. It is 12 to 18 months kind of a range for that kind of delivery of projects. So, and we don't give guidance as well, you know. These are always the internal targets of the company. And also I mentioned in my first question when I covered with Agastya that, you know, there's a lot of preparatory homework that goes into EPC, and EPC is not a short-haul business, it's a long-haul business, you know. So one cannot attribute that, you know, the company didn't deliver or the company didn't perform. It's how the sense of the project goes into that, and with which customer, you know, how, you know, what are the challenges that have been observed, how we have dealt with that customer. And we, any updates, we always keep disclosing to stock exchanges. I hope that clarifies your doubt on whether we have delivered and performed or not.
Yes, understood. Another question. So you said that maintainable EBITDA margins are almost double digits from 15% to 20%. But I see that competitors in EPC business have a single digit EBITDA margin. So how is the company able to generate a higher margin?
You know, that you should be, you know, actually giving us a free rope way to get away, actually. You know, you are actually putting us in a spot as to how do we deliver that margin higher than competitors.
Okay. Another question that I have is, the receivables were almost 40% of revenue in FY24. I understand that it includes retention money, but can you quantify the amount of retention money?
I will park this question and I will get back to you because the data point question. Give me some time, you know, maybe, you know, while we are in the session, I will revert back to you.
Okay, okay. Also, if you can give us a sustainable, I mean, how much do you expect the receivables to be as a percentage of sales in FY25?
Come back again. What is it that you want?
The receivables expected as a percentage of sales in FY25.
See, you know, normally we have explained our working capital cycle, you know. Our working capital cycle is that, you know, once you give bank guarantees, you get advanced mobilization money. And then there is a progressive milestone that we achieve, and then we invoice the customer. And typically, you know, in 30 to 40 days, we do get paid our monies. But in the end, then again, there is a retention of 5 to 10% depending upon customer and depending upon the type of contract that we have entered, you know. And that retention could range between 6 to 12 months as well, you know. So, just, you know, specific as a percentage, it becomes extremely difficult to quantify in each year. But that's how our working capital cycle will function, Ishita.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Also, another question that I have is, in our current order book of 2.3 gigawatts, how much of these orders include modules as well?
So, you know, we don't give that split of how much it gives, but we can give you a sense that, you know, typically we have observed that it is a 70 to 30 split, 70 in favor of without module and 30% in favor of with modules.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Karan Sanwal from Niveshya Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yeah, you are audible, Karan. Good afternoon.
Great. I wanted to understand, like, what would be the approximate the operation O&M component in the existing order book? What potential do we have in the existing order book for the O&M component?
So I have told already this, I have addressed this question. We have about 900 megawatt of potential in our existing contracts. But as and when that EPC portion is over.
Okay, okay. And also, the, we have, you know, created some solar generating assets as an IDP. So, wanted to understand what would be their potential for the 4-year basis?
So we have got 39 megawatt of assets in our portfolio.
What would be the revenue that you would be generating from that?
About
11 crores. 70.
So about 18 crores.
Okay, understood. And also, looking at the size of the order book that we have, are we exploring any subcontracting opportunity to complete those contracts, or would we do it internally only?
So subcontract opportunity internally means?
Say for example, we have an order book of 2.3 gigawatts. So would it be prudent to, you know, subcontract those orders to someone else, or would we do it internally only?
No, the plan is to execute with Waaree Renewable only. There is no plan to subcontract.
Yeah, understood. And also the order book, the amount of PSU volume and value-wise that you have given, was it a part of FY24, 15% volume and 35% value?
No, that is going to be part of this 2.3 gigawatt.
Okay, the unexecuted order book.
Yeah.
And understood. Thank you so much. That would be it from my side. All the very best.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address the questions from all the participants, please limit your questions to 2 per participants. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rahul Kothari from Girit Equities. Please go ahead. We have lost the connection. The next question is from the line of Divyam Gupta. Please go ahead. We have lost the connection. The next follow-up question is from the line of Rudresh Kalyani from Kalyani Private Business. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the follow-up. So we have been growing on 10% year-on-year. So do we foresee any headwinds for this growth?
You know, as of now, as I said, you know, it's the government commitment, you know, and energy sector is where it's a regulated sector. So energy demand is growing, government is committed. So unless, you know, government initiatives come down or they falter on their commitments, you know, we don't see any headwinds as such. But the tailwinds are all in the favor of the sector.
Mm-hmm. And one more thing is, we are more, don't you think we are more dependent on the solar? Any de-risk with respect to it?
See, the company is in solar business, so I mean, what's de-risking? We are in the business of solar. We have declared our intent to be in solar business.
Okay. And I have a couple of questions on the balance sheet, on the P&L as well. So other expenses as well as finance costs have upped compared to the previous year. So previous year as well as previous quarter. So what is the reason for that?
See, you know, this is a very data specific question. The revenue has also increased. But if you have any such data question, you know, you can write to our investor relations and we'll be happy to reply you on the same.
Okay. And the last question is, cash in any form has increased exponentially. So are we looking for any acquisition? That's why we have cash for that, or how is it?
See, right now we are focused on increasing our order book size and expanding the business. You know, that's where our focus is right now. We do not have any focus as of now for acquisition.
Okay. Thank you. That's it from my side. All the best.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Atil Kumar Chauvey from Abbott. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, Akhil.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. My question is that you already have answered it. The question was about the receivable part. It has gone exponentially if you compare quarter-on-quarter, even year-on-year? So it was already answered. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll take this as the last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Viral Sakhleja for closing comments.
Thank you, Neha. I would like to thank the management for taking out the time for this conference call today, and also thanks to all the participants. If you have any further queries, please feel free to contact us. We are Orient Capital, Investor Relations Advisors to Waaree Renewable Technologies Limited. Thank you and have a great day.
Thank you. On behalf of Waaree Renewable Technologies Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.